I have news. We're going to get to Lisa Newell in 2 seconds. The Florida Department of Emergency Management on Facebook, 17 minutes ago. We know a 4:45 a.m. wake-up call isn't ideal. 3:35 in the panhandle! 45, anyway. They want to apologize for the early morning text. Each month, we test the emergency alerts on a variety of platforms. This alert was supposed to be on TV and not disturb anyone already sleeping. Called it. We are taking the appropriate action to ensure this will never happen again and that only true emergencies are sent as alerts in the middle of the night. Some intern somewhere didn't untoggle a box. And that's why everybody got woken up at 3:45. Well, there we go. There's the explanation and the responsibility, I guess. All right. Lisa Newell is the publisher of the Gulf Breeze News. She joins us every Thursday to talk about what's going on in Gulf Breeze. Lisa, welcome back to the program.
Hey, Andrew. We have some really exciting news. We had always wanted to announce our 2022 Person of the Year. But just things kept having, schedules kept changing. But finally, we have told in this issue who the winner is. We had asked for nominations from the community, and we got a lot of really good ones. But then we kept getting the same person nominated over and over again.
That's a good problem.
We said, okay, this is it. She's got to be it. Oh, yeah, it's a great problem. And the person is Kim Grolyak, and she's the person who came to Gulf Breeze. She's a native, but she moved back home and realized there's no senior center, and where she had lived before, they always had a senior center. So she, found a location. She started getting the programs together, and that senior center is now located inside the St. Francis of Assisi Church. They have donated space, and they have got, things going in there all the time. I mean, every day, Monday through Friday, there's music, exercise, there's creative stuff, there's learning opportunities. Games, fun stuff, line dancing, I mean, stuff that you really would like to do. And it's for people who are 55 and older. So it's really a great asset to the community, and we really congratulate Kim Grolyak for becoming the Person of the Year.
Very cool. You've also got a story about the challenges with the land development code that Colton Wright has been talking about and the proximity of churches and schools on Highway 98 to alcohol potential establishments, right?
Yes, that's right. And there was a situation that happened that would have affected the American Legion that's located on Highway 98. They were going to lose their lease, and they were looking for another location, but they couldn't find anywhere because everything was within this 2,500-foot buffer.
A half mile. That's a long distance, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It is a long distance. And, what Colton Wright mentioned to the county was, look, everything in Gulf Breeze is on Highway 98. You don't have anything except Highway 98. So all of the churches are on Highway 98. And any kind of a restaurant who serves alcohol or a American Legion who serves alcohol or a liquor store, they all are also on Highway 98. And it makes it impossible for that 2,500-foot buffer makes it impossible for anyone, especially when you're talking about our veterans. This is a very touchy subject. As it turned out, the American Legion was able to renew their lease, but this still is an issue that could happen, and we need to look at it. And, of course, a lot of people in the county say, well, no, we don't want to make it to where any churches are closer to liquor stores or establishments that serve liquor. However, he says, the rest of the county has a lot more land.
Right.
We're really in a different situation in Gulf Breeze. So that is something that is being looked at.
Yeah, a 1 mile diameter radius or a 1 mile diameter circle around every church or school is a lot of space taken up by this buffer zone. That's exactly right. Let's take a real quick break. We're talking to Lisa Newell from the Gulf Breeze News. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And watching an accident. This is in Gulf Breeze. South of Windhaven, I guess. A ferry stop and go eastbound Windhaven Beach on Highway 98 from about Parish Boulevard back to Whispering Pines. So if you have traffic tips, 437-1620. Navarre, I'm sorry, not Gulf Breeze. But Windhaven Beach, eastbound Highway 98. From Parrish back to Whispering Pines. Traffic tips, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Thanks, Candy. Back to Lisa Newell with the Gulf Breeze News. You have a very interesting story about a horrible event at NES Pensacola that turned into a business. Is that right?
That's right. It is Ryan Blackwell. He was actually a victim of the NAS shootings. And he was, at the time, he was a Navy airman, but he had a background in wrestling. He was a two-time North Carolina State wrestling champ. He had been a college wrestler. And so when he got shot, his military career was over. And he was able to start 1 year later a training facility in Gulf Breeze, and that is called Well Trained. Right now they have 60 kids there, students of all ages, who are learning the basics of wrestling. And, you know, that he really runs a tight ship. He's got a lot of structure. These kids are really thriving there. And so we're really excited to have this story because it's a Gulf Breeze story. It's a good feel-good story. It's a, you know, it's something that makes you feel that maybe after a tragedy, life can go on. And he's actually helping so many other people as well.
Oh, man. Talk about, you know, turning awful into good. That's horrible, the thing underneath it all, but, you know, the fact that he turned it in that direction, that's a really good news note. You guys also have a story about the possible new, what is it, a dog path at Shoreline Park? Is that right?
Well, we had some complaints. There was a advisory park meeting about how people are walking their dogs down to the Shoreline Park.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, they're, you know, sitting at those gazebos, or they're leaving their dogs off the leash. And everyone says, you know, my dog won't bite, so it doesn't really, shouldn't, you know, be affecting anyone. Well, the issue is that there's a lot of kids, little kids, toddlers even, who like to come down there and play at the water's edge. And that's one of the few places that toddlers can really go and enjoy the Shoreline Park. And so if you have these dogs mixing with them, even a friendly dog could knock a toddler down. So, and there is really a rule that there's not supposed to be any dogs there.
Right.
But there's really not a good way for anyone who has a dog to traverse between the dog park and the dog beach.
Oh, interesting.
So
yeah.
They are talking about, and this is just talk at this point, they're looking
Let me guess.
To allow
an elevated overhead pedestrian overpass.
Yes.
No, not coming? Okay.
Helicopter ride. For
human catapult. Give me the trebuchet. Sorry, go ahead. You were saying the actual news.
So they are going to look at having the dogs be able to be on the boardwalk for a very short period of time from the dog park south to Shoreline Park, and then build a little walkway or path that will go around the boat ramp and lead them to the designated dog beach.
I got it.
So that is something that they're talking about doing to accommodate dog lovers and also the people who want to be unimpeded by any animals while they are at Shoreline Park South.
Well, you've got all kinds of stuff in the paper about, you know, girls lacrosse, softball, boys and tennis, boys and girls tennis teams, birds in the speed limit, the Historical Society meeting tonight, and key announcement is that Spring Fest that got rained out is going to be rescheduled for May 6th. As always, the Gulf Breeze News is full of good information, and if you'll allow me to say it this way, Lisa, I think you're full of it too.
Oh, you're so nice to say that. I'm back at you.
Lisa, as always, a pleasure. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you so much for the good information.
Okay. Bye-bye.
819 on News Radio 92.3. I'm getting blocked on that call from now on. No, she's such a sweetheart. I love her so much. Hey, Frontier Motors, you know, the reason I endorse them is because I had a good experience. And I have had consistently good reports of other people's good experiences. You know, when we first went there, we bought a car, okay? And the reason, and we weren't looking to buy a car. We were just looking to test drive a car. And, they were advertisers before I started representing them, before we bought the car. Dave Ramsey's endorsed them for years. But the reason we went there wasn't any of that.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. If you're driven by an adventurous heart, you're in luck because the redesigned 2023 Subaru Outback shares your spirit. The Outback can take you as far as you want to explore with standard symmetrical all-wheel drive. And Subaru's estimated highway fuel economy for non-turbo 2023 Outback models is up to 32 miles per gallon. And comparing information from competitors' website, the Outback has more ground clearance than Honda CR-V or Toyota RAV4. So you can take on the path less traveled with ease. And when Experian Automotive studied vehicles in operation versus total new registrations, they found that 97% of Outback vehicles sold in the last 10 years are still on the road today, which means you can explore your world with confidence. The 2023 Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Actual mileage may vary. Clearance comparisons as of June 2022. Experian data for model years 2012 to 2021 as of December 2022.
It's the biggest party of the year. Unfiltered, off-kilter, and a little unhinged with PLT's Cabaret Off-Broadway. Saturday, May 6th, Cabaret's Playhouse theme transforms the theater and surrounding block into an indoor-outdoor entertainment complex, seamlessly fusing local art and celebration to showcase art as the life of the party. Come immerse yourself in the best of Pensacola's art scene. Get your tickets now before it sells out at the Pensacola Little Theater box office or online at PensacolaLittleTheater.com.
Hey guys, I'm Nicole Stacy. There are more things to do in our area than you can even imagine. So who better to share the adventure of the Pensacola experience than the team at Visit Pensacola? Share with us your experience by using the hashtag ExperiencePeakOla. Go to visitpensacola.com and listen in Friday at 9:30 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, and the News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Or perhaps you don't want to see the second largest ball of twine on the face of the earth, which is only 4 short hours away.
This speech is my recital. I think it's very vital to rock
a rhyme.
That's right.
On top.
It's tricky. It's here we go. It's tricky to rock a rhyme. Tricky.
823, News Radio 92.3, informative, local. Sometimes we throw bars. Never me. Never me. That'll never be me. But, you know, we do let other people do it. Hey, coming up at 8:35, I know you're normally accustomed to hearing the frivolous segment where we argue about things that we know don't matter. But I was able to get a hold of Dan Schebler. He's the director for the District 1 Medical Examiner's Office, and we're going to have him on at 8:35 to talk about some of these allegations. So we'll see if we can't get a little bit to the bottom of all this. Again, that's coming up in about 12 minutes. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
The line at the unemployment office getting a little bit longer. Jobless claims in the U.S. jumped up 5,000 over the last week. The Supreme Court extending access to mifepristone until at least Friday. Last week, the court put a hold on the Texas judge's ruling that banned production and distribution of the drug. And Snapchat getting a little more serious about chat. Apparently, they announced yesterday that their customizable chatbot called My AI is now accessible to all of their users. That feature had been available that's powered by ChatGPT. It was only available to premium subscribers. Now they're making it available to everybody.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Joe Biden, President Biden, is proposing a rule that would take basically homeowners who have high-value homes and would cost them money, maybe $45 or so a month, and would make it possible to then subsidize homeowners with lower credit on high-risk loans so that people at the lower end of the income spectrum can get into homes for the first time. Anybody else remember 2008? Anybody but me remember what happens when you subsidize people who are high-risk loans and you make it easier for people to get those loans? It seems to me like that's not been a great thing for us to do in history. Also, you know, you're actually going to make people pay more at the higher end just because they have higher end homes in order to subsidize low income homes. I'm sorry. This whole, like, California the other day charging more for the people for electricity who make more and charging less for the people who make less. It's just bizarre to me that that's the approach for everything for this administration. 437-1620. We talked about this a little bit, but HB 999 heard yesterday in committee, did pass through committee. That's Alex Andrade's bill to reform higher education in the state of Florida. I say reform. He says reform. Teachers and students are saying ruin. Nobody knows for sure, but we're, you know, kind of take a stab at it. We'll talk about that in just a second. Candy, meanwhile, has traffic on the fives.
And watching, it doesn't show an accident, but it does show stop-and-go traffic. Eastbound at Windhaven Beach, Navarre Highway 98 from about Parrish Boulevard to Whispering back to Whispering Pines. So just expect that takes about 10 minutes to get through. So careful there. If you have traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
If you're thinking about selling a home or buying a home, you want a good realtor. He's going to get you the best price on either end. That's low price buying, high price selling, not to mansplain it, but, you know, that's the idea. And you want somebody who knows the process, that they can get the work done, and they can get it done properly, and they're just familiar with it. It's not kind of their first time doing it. Here's why I say that, okay? Christina Leavenworth, you know she's fantastic, sold over 200 homes last year, And you hear me talking about her all the time, and you probably have friends who have bought or sold with her because she just worked with so many people. It's interesting that if you look at the list of licensed agents in the Pensacola area, there's about 3,000 on the MLS. 1,600 of them have not sold a single home yet this year. More than half. Now, some people aren't really working. You know, they've got their license. They haven't let it expire. I get that. But some people, they sell one or two homes in an entire year. And that's fine. If that's what they want to do, that's great. But the question is, when you're getting a realtor to work on your behalf, do you prefer somebody who has sold none this year, or they sold one last year, or somebody who sold 230 last year? Because there are about 20 people that have sold more than 20 in the first quarter. Seven have sold more than 30. Christina's got 36 sold and 29 pending under contract. So you just kind of have to decide what's the most important value to you. And for my money, if I'm working with somebody, I want somebody who I know that this is literally not their first time, you know, not their first rodeo. So Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty, 723-9158. I'm going to play a clip from Randy Fine, who was talking yesterday during the committee hearing about this higher ed reform bill. You know, the one that gets rid of diversity, equity, inclusion in the curricula. It takes the hiring power out of the hands of the faculty of a department and puts it in the hands of the president so as to eliminate some of the bias that goes on campus. There's other reforms as well, including the mission statement, checking that all the time to make sure it's in line with what the state sets. And, you know, by the way, part of the argument is that you should have accountability to elected officials for a state-run system of education. And right now you don't. You have accountability in the hiring practices only to the other members of the faculty, which can work. But speaking as somebody who taught in higher ed for a long time, often simply produces widespread, pervasive leftism on campus. It just is that way. And so how do you fix that problem that is a problem across the country in higher education institutions? Well, Randy Fine gives the example of when he was a kid, when he was taking classes.
My junior year of college, I took a class. You had to take a junior seminar. You had to write a paper. And I was hard. I was conservative even back then. You'll find that hard to believe. In a place where conservatives weren't all that welcome, I wrote a paper my junior year on bias in the media. Worked really hard on it. I had to do it. I turned it in, and I got an F on that paper. Where I went to school, if you got an F in a class, you automatically got to take a vacation for a semester. You got to think about it. So I got an F, and I looked at it. I couldn't believe I got an F, and I went to see the teacher, and I asked why. What was it not well written? Were there typos? Were there grammar errors? No, no, no. Was it not well backed up? Was it not well cited? No, no, no. Why'd you give me an F? Well, you were just wrong. You were just wrong. He didn't think he was indoctrinating me. He was just right.
The people who are so obsessed with bias training and systemic bias of racism or genderism or gender orientation or sexual orientationism, you know, you pick the thing. They think everybody else is biased, but they're the neutral arbiters of truth. Is that possibly a bias? And I say yes, again, having taught in higher ed, because they don't think they're indoctrinating. They just think it's true, which is always the place where you want to be concerned. So, and I've had experiences like this. I know other people who've had experiences like this where, you know, oh, sure, disagree with me. And then you get your grade back. You're like, I guess you didn't really mean it. You know, and some teachers aren't. Some teachers are great. They say disagree and they mean it. The problem is not them. It's the other ones, right? David Wayne, what do you have coming up, sir?
The Coast Guard rescued a couple of kayakers recently. More after Fox.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. An unnamed IRS whistleblower claims the investigation of President Biden's son Hunter is being mishandled. Fox's Lucas Tomlinson.
The whistleblower says he wants to expose a cover-up in the Biden administration. The career IRS special agent has been investigating Hunter Biden for 3 years. He says in a new letter to Congress to both parties that federal prosecutors are preventing tax charges from being brought against the president's son.
No comment from the White House. At least two people are killed in a tornado outbreak in Cole, Oklahoma. Becca Ingram's car got blown out of its parking spot in Shawnee.
All the windows are shattered. There's actually a stick in the passenger door. It looks like somebody shot it with a gun, but it's a stick smaller than my pinky.
She manages a pizza place and had people taking shelter in a walk-in freezer. New unemployment claims up 5,000 last week to 245,000, according to this morning's report from the Labor Department. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31 News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, 60 degrees. It is sunny in Pensacola this morning. The Coast Guard rescued two kayakers that had been overturned near Mobile this week. This happened on Tuesday. Two kayaks reportedly had flipped over in the water. Both kayakers were in the water clinging to one of the kayaks. Helicopter air crews deployed a rescue swimmer, was able to help them both get back to shore safely. Both kayakers reportedly now in stable condition. There's some disturbing allegations being made regarding the practices of the state medical examiner's office that serves both Escambia and Santa Rosa counties. On his blog this week, Escambia County Commissioner Jeff Bergosh released portions of letters the county received from some local funeral directors.
The allegations, and I want to use that term, that medical gloves and other refuse or rubbish was left inside the bodies. Other allegations of just rough treatment of the bodies, allegations that parents of victims of overdoses, being told their children committed suicide.
Bergosh tells News Radio that he's spoken to several people in the industry that he trusts and says he doesn't necessarily buy the accusations. He also says that the county received the letters, but formal complaints would need to be sent to the State Medical Examiner's Commission. Now, Andrew will be talking with the State Medical Examiner's Office here in just a few minutes to get more information and a response from them on these allegations. As the city of Pensacola is looking to modernize laws centered around bars and restaurants, Mayor D.C. Reeves says they're looking at keeping bottle clubs out of city limits.
There is no one right now that we know of that is operating as a bottle club in the city. So, again, this is not reactionary to someone or some business, but as we modernize other things within this ordinance, I thought that this would be a good time to modernize that as well.
And bottle clubs are clubs that don't sell liquor but do allow customers to bring their own. He says these types of clubs lead to policing issues and take up a lot of resources at night. Well, if you're going to be driving on US 98 through Naval Oaks over the next few days, you might see some fires and smoke. But don't worry, Gulf Islands National Seashore says they're conducting prescribed burns within the Naval Live Oaks area. And that'll be happening today through Saturday. The planned burns are scheduled to take place between 10 a.m. through 4 p.m., weather permitting, and the park will be reviewing the conditions each morning to see if those burns will happen. Well, we're just about one weekend away now from one of the biggest parties on the Gulf Coast, the annual Interstate Mullet Toss. That's hosted at Floribama Lounge. It'll be April 28th through the 30th. About 30,000 people expected to be on hand for the Mullet Toss this year. All the proceeds from that event go to local programs and charities within the Community Drug and Alcohol Council. And typically, the Mullet Toss brings in about $40,000 a year. For more information, visit floribama.com/mullet toss. It is 8:35 at News Radio 92.3, and Candy has a look at our traffic on the fives.
Still watching Windhaven. Stop and go eastbound on Highway 98 from Parish Boulevard back to Whispering Pines. If you have traffic tips, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Beautiful day in store today with plenty of sunshine, high near 81 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 60 degrees. For your Friday, beautiful weather continues with a high near 77, partly sunny skies with a 10% chance of a stray shower. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 63. We will be seeing some rain Friday night into Saturday morning with a 50% chance of rain Saturday morning. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Right now, 70 degrees. The sun shining in Pensacola, 69 in Gulf Breeze, and 62 in Milton.
The tall ships are coming! The tall ships are coming! Tall Ships America is bringing its Tall Ships Challenge back to Pensacola April 27th through the 30th. Five tall ships will be available for on-deck tours, sailaways, and a variety of special events and festival festivities. Buy your tickets to the Tall Ships at tallshipspensacola.org. Let the Tall Ships take you back in time at tallshipspensacola.org. That's tallshipspensacola.org.
Did you know you can get your prescriptions for less at your local pharmacy? You can with GoodRx. It's the free app that can save you money on your medications. Just search for your prescription, choose the pharmacy and the price that works best for you, and then show your GoodRx coupon to your pharmacist at the drop-off counter. GoodRx works at over 70,000 pharmacies, including Walmart, Rite Aid, and Walgreens, and it works whether you have insurance or not. It's easy to save. Next time you drop off your prescription, check GoodRx. To start saving today, go to GoodRx.com. GoodRx is not insurance.
Your money now this morning. The market opening down. The Dow down 154.80 at 33,742.21. The S&P 500 down 26.07 at 41,28.45. The NASDAQ down 88.28 at 12,068.95 this morning. Well, the line at the unemployment office apparently getting a little bit longer. The jobless claims in the U.S. jumped up 5,000 over the previous week. The Labor Department says initial unemployment insurance claims for the week ending April 15th is 245,000, up from 240,000 last week. Snapchat apparently getting more serious about chat. The company announced Wednesday its new customizable chatbot, My AI, is now accessible to all users. Till now, the feature powered by ChatGPT was only available to premium subscribers on Snapchat Plus. And Elon Musk says Tesla will likely be launching full self-driving technology as soon as this year.
The CEO made that prediction on a conference call Wednesday and said the test version of Tesla's full self-driving software will be two steps forward, one step back between releases, but that the trend is very clearly towards full self-driving. The electric vehicle company currently sells self-driving software as an option. I'm Mark Mayfield.
And it is 8:38, News Radio 92.3. Your next news at 9, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This is only a test.
News Radio Pensacola is your source for informative, local, dependable news and talk. Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay gets you a breakdown of the local issues from the county commission meetings to new developments. Pep Talk gets you local expert opinions on everything from gardens to HVAC. Brian Kilmeade interviews the national newsmakers. Dave Ramsey helps you become debt-free. Pensacola Right Now infotains on your drive home. Local and Fox News at the top and bottom of every hour. And traffic on the fives during your drive time. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 8:39 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now by phone, we have Dan Schebler. He is the Director of Operations for the District 1 Medical Examiner's Office. Dan, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. Thank you.
Good morning. So before we get into the allegations made about Dr. Oleski's operation and, of course, your operation as well, I think it might be useful to tell people some basic things about the medical examiner's office. Can you just maybe say what you do and how many people work for the operation? Just kind of give us a picture of something that I think most people don't know much about.
Sure. I think that's an important part to cover. The district medical examiner's operations are governed primarily by state statute and Florida Administrative Code. The district medical examiner's office currently employs, we're funded to employ 28 people. We're currently staffed at about 25 people. It's two doctors. There's six staff that are trained in autopsy procedures, autopsy technicians that work in the morgue and assist the doctors there. We have five that work in administration, processing records and answering records requests and those types of things. And then we have eight investigators who respond to scenes to gather information about the place of death and things to help the doctors in their determination of cause and manner.
And so the primary task that your office is assigned with is figuring out why people died, performing autopsies, and then, of course, a lot of that becomes evidence in trials, right?
It, certainly in criminal cases, it becomes evidence in trials. Sometimes it becomes evidence in civil litigation, depending on the type of case. But yes, certainly.
Very good. Okay, I appreciate it. And that's why, you know, I just figured not everybody – I don't want to assume everybody knows that, so I wanted to get that out there. Well, of course, you are well aware. You have seen the letters that Commissioner Bragash said existed but did not put on his own blog. But then, of course, you know, others have requested, and now you are in possession of, and we are in possession of as well, that makes some very concerning allegations about the medical examiner's office in terms of what the funeral directors are experiencing on their end. My first question to you is, was yesterday when this all came out the first time that those allegations had been made to you or that you had been made aware of these concerns by these funeral homes?
Yeah, and that's, Andrew, that's one of the most concerning parts, I think, to me, is these funeral directors, we work with their offices on an almost daily basis, handling cases, handling information requests, processing death certificates and death records. And the first that I became aware is when this information, the excerpts were posted on Commissioner Bagash's blog. I did receive the records or the letters when I requested them from the county attorney yesterday. And then it was even to me more shocking to learn that the date on one of the letters is March 9th, that apparently this had been in existence for 6 weeks and that hadn't been shared with the district medical examiner at all.
So, I mean, I know it's not, you didn't choose to not tell you, but it would seem to me like the first recourse, if these conditions are as bad as these letters indicate the claims they are, it would seem like they would come and talk to you and share these concerns or talk to, you know, your supervisory board in the state. It seems weird to me to go to the county a month and a half ago and not hear about it until just now. I mean, do you have thoughts about that?
Like I said, it's very concerning. We meet with these folks, we deal with these folks on a regular basis, and we are available. And if they are dissatisfied, whether it's something as simple as staff performance or phone procedures, then call the supervisor. And if you don't get an answer, call me. I think it's surprising that the route this information flowed to actually make it to our office.
I fully agree. I mean, it's a very strange way this story has developed. But let's talk about the specific issues made in the letters. You saw these claims, and there's a whole variety of things, everything from causes of death being changed inappropriately, bodies being mishandled, cadavers being delivered with all kinds of unprofessional conditions to them, delays in the handling of these cases, unresponsive staff. There's all kinds of stuff in there. You tell me, when you hear those things, do you hear, oh man, we need to fix this stuff? Do you hear fabricated claims? Do you think these things actually happen? What's your reaction to these allegations?
I think exaggerated claims, in some cases unsubstantiated claims. We've only had a short period of time to review one of the letter sites, a specific example. And although the name has been redacted to protect the privacy of the family, which I fully support. We don't have a case record that matches that example that the one funeral home director cited concerning a change of a manner of death, either from a time perspective, from the case specifics perspective. So it's difficult to go back 9 or 10 months ago and reconstruct when the basis of the claim is not even sound. So it's challenging. I think we have an open line of communication, and we're going to be reaching out to the 50 plus other funeral homes that we work with on a regular basis in our district for feedback to see if there are any other concerns. At this point, these are three funeral homes, all in close proximity here in Escambia County, but we work, like I said, with probably close to 70 funeral homes across the district.
We're talking to Dan Schebler. He is the Director of Operations for the District 1 Medical Examiner's Office. We'll return to Dan in just a second. Let's get Candy here with a quick traffic on the fives.
This is brought to you by Gulf Breeze News, your community newspaper. And it looks like Windhaven has cleared up, so you should be good to go. Not showing any other delays. 98 is accident-free. General Chappie James, the 3-mile bridge, also accident-free. Traffic tips, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Dan Schebler from the District 1 Medical Examiner's Office. Dan, I know that, as you've already explained, without specific names or dates to deal with particular allegations of whatever the form of misbehavior is, it's hard to refute them, but I'm going to give you the chance to, you know, deny that this is happening, characterize whether you think that these allegations are compatible with what you've seen in your operation, just to kind of respond to the claims.
I would say, Andrew, they're incompatible with the professional level of performance that has been brought to this office since Dr. Oleski assumed the position of interim district medical examiner. We have standard operating procedures that all of our staff are aware of. We train on those. We reiterate those, everything from administrative responses to records requests to investigative techniques in the field to performance in the morgue. So they're incompatible with our standards and inconsistent with what I know occurs on a daily basis. However, we're reviewing all of those things. We're going back and looking at time to turn around cremation permits. And I can tell you in a cursory review, though average is a matter of hours, not days. Now, are there exceptions where additional information is required from local hospitals and medical records? Certainly. But the average turnaround time, one of the complaints that's cited there, is a matter of hours to get a cremation permit approved in our through our system. So I think unsubstantiated, I won't go too far or much further than that in responding to, you know, what I feel about these claims, but we do take them seriously. I hope that the funeral directors will be willing to sit down with me tomorrow. I've invited them to a meeting tomorrow morning at our office to talk about the details, because I think it's important that they know we have an open line of communication, and if there are problems, we're going to address those problems. But if there are assertions and allegations that are withheld from the district medical examiner's office, we can't do anything to address them.
I wish I didn't have to ask this question, but I feel like because it's in the context of everything that has been going on around this conversation, and particularly because on his blog, I mean, Commissioner Burgosh starts off by attacking me personally for talking about the location of the District 1 Medical Examiner's Office facility and disagreeing with him about where it ought to go. And so it raises the question in my mind, well, 6 weeks ago, they get a letter. The other two are not dated. It comes out now, 2 days after we talk about this topic on the air, and I think you can't help but wonder, is there a connection somehow between the location of the facility, moving it out of Escambia County, potentially to Santa Rosa County, these allegations, these funeral homes, transportation of bodies, and just sort of that whole thing. From your perspective, do you think it's related to that other conversation, or do you treat them as separate things?
Right now, in my mind, I'm treating them as separate things, but I don't understand the timing, and it is an open question in my mind. You know, as I think you've reported, three counties have taken action and are ready to move forward with a new needed facility that was agreed to 3 years ago when Dr. Oleski was hired. It was agreed to by all four counties. A new centrally located facility was approved by the Escambia County Board 5-0. And now we're getting to the point where dollars are being talked about and things seem to have stalled out and maybe changed directions in some cases.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, we've been covering that story as long as it's been going on, which is quite some time. So it's just, I have a lot of questions as well surrounding this story. And I think it's fair enough to say that if the claims in the letters are true, it's really bad for your office. If the claims in the letters are exaggerated or not true, it's really bad for the people who made the claims. I mean, I don't see any other way to say it that would be accurate to the circumstances. But I really appreciate you coming on the show today, Dan, to answer some of these questions. Of course, you know, Dr. Oleski is always welcome on the program as well if she wants to comment on it. I know you guys are always super busy, and that's kind of, you know, that's been the backdrop to all of this conversation. But Dan Schabler, the Director of Operations for the District 1 Medical Examiner's Office, sir, thanks as always for the time. Thanks for what you do and serving the community. I appreciate it, sir.
Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate you.
You bet. 8:51 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Last July, let me take you back in time a little bit. Last July, when you were outside looking at your lawn, were you like, yes? Or were you like, well, that's where NSET comes in, right? They will come in and for no charge, they'll look at your lawn, they'll look at your soil, they'll do a sample, they'll figure out what you individually need, and then they'll kind of prescribe you a treatment, right? And then they'll come out 8 times a year and take care of you. If you sign up for an annual program, you get the first application, the first month is basically free, and they will take care of your lawn so that not now, but, you know, in June, in July, it's going to be the thing that you hope it'll be. That's why you go with NSEC. Also, they're now hiring full-time pest and lawn technicians in Pensacola, Mobile, Baldwin County, Panama City. Good pay, good benefits, 401k health insurance, opportunity for advancement and growth. Apply at workwithNSEC. That's ENSEC.com.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out this morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Parents usually know if their children will argue over their inheritance, but this can be prevented. I'm Wesley Odom with Armada Advisors. No one wants to see their wealth wasted away because of poor planning. I've assisted several clients with estate planning ideas and sometimes have served as trustee or executor upon their death. Give me a call at 497-6167. Armada Advisors is charting a better course.
This is Tort Talk with personal injury lawyer Terrence A. Gross.
Hi, this is Terrence A. Gross. Did you know that Floridians can stack uninsured motorist coverage? If you have three vehicles with $25,000 stacking UM, that equates to $75,000 in total coverage. Therefore, always choose stacking coverage if you have more than one vehicle in your household.
Tort Talk is brought to you by Terrence A. Gross. Call 434-3333 or check him out at grossandschuster.com.
The Dave Ramsey Show. Afternoons at 1. After Brian Kilmeade on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Does not compute. Does not compute. Does not compute.
Hey, 54 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Your reaction to that interview with Dan and to what you think is going on with this story right now with the medical examiner's office. You know, one thing I've always appreciated about Dan is he'll say what he knows and he won't say what he doesn't know. And he's, you know, willing to say, well, look, we're looking into that. And I'm glad he's going to meet with these funeral directors. At least I hope they do. And I hope they hash this out. I guess at this point, just the human nature side of me thinks it's entirely possible that they don't meet with them tomorrow because this is... It's pretty hard to sit down in a room, you know, where they weren't apparently, again, according to Dan, willing to bring these concerns to them directly, but now bring them indirectly through a commissioner's blog. 437-1620, your thoughts on this story, 437-1620. It's 855. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And it looks like, again, I mentioned this earlier, Windhaven has cleared up. 98 not showing any delays. And 29, good, all the way from... gosh, sorry. I'm still on the District 1 thing. Cantonment down to the split at Pace Palafox in Pensacola. Certainly, if you see an accident or have a traffic tip, 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks, Candy. One thing on a completely different subject. I know we were all very unpleasantly, even I was not up yet. It was 10 minutes early for me. I get up at 3:55, and I got that alert on my phone at 3:45 this morning and thought, standing up straight in bed, like, what? What's going on? Wife, too. And I'm looking around trying to figure out, you know, what planet am I on? And I look at the phone. It's nothing. I turn it off and go back to sleep for 8 minutes. So here's the deal. Florida Department of Emergency Management has taken responsibility. They said it was their fault that this went out. Now, it was supposed to happen, but on TV only, which is kind of what I had suspected, maybe, that somebody... Because you remember how, like, we had this problem with, you know, the alerts that went out for Escambia County and the schools and some of that stuff. You remember this? We had a couple of... a month ago or so? And, you know, my thought is somebody just didn't toggle the right box. You know, something like that is what happened. And sure enough, that's what they're basically saying, is that it should not have gone to your cell phone. So the subsequent months when these alerts are going to come out at same time... it shouldn't go to your cell phone. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink, hopefully. It's supposed to go on TV. So we'll see if they follow through on that. But certainly everybody, I know so many people who have been texting me and messaging me on Facebook and saying, man, I had to get up and then I couldn't get back to sleep and I'm all groggy today. So my note to you, if you're an employer, maybe today is take it a little easy on your sleep-deprived employees who had to get up at the same time as the news radio host did today, not by their own choosing. Speaking of employers, if you've got employees and you love handling payroll and HR and health insurance and dental and vision, life and disability and all that kind of stuff, great, do it. I mean, wonderful. Have a blast. If you would prefer not to have to handle those things, or if you think maybe we can save money or maybe we can find a way to do better by our employees by giving them choices, that's what Torgerson Causey does. For more than 20 years locally, they are a comprehensive employee benefits agency, and they've been helping people like you do better by your employees. I know because we use them here at News Radio. For about 5 or 6 years now, we've used them, and they're great. In fact, I won't name names, but I'll just tell you, what we had before was not great. What we have now is great. I'll just say it that way. I've seen both alternatives, and this is so much better. They always answer the phone. They always get back to us with details and always answer my wife's very detail-oriented questions. So 433-9996 for Torgerson Causey, or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com. 437-1620, 437-1620. I don't want to get – I got all these stories that I didn't get to today because of this other stuff. Oh, we did learn – just quick note. We did learn earlier from Wes Moreno, the county administrator in Escambia, that the claims about the 75-foot of public access on Perdido Key, iffy is the term he used, only because they're working hard to figure it out, and they say in a week or two they should have it figured out. He thinks that west of the state park there probably isn't anything like this. East of the state park there might be, but – at least one, it turns up, you know, they kind of granted away, or they gained back that in exchange for granting away beach access one. And it looks like maybe some of the other ones, as they try to follow through the history of these deeds and court cases related to them, that it may turn out to be not what we had thought originally. And that's what I said at the beginning. I said, this is a big story if it holds up. And if it's been 50 years, you know, maybe we can give it a minute before we get too excited about it. All right, Candy, time for Future News.
Future News.
Speaking of that, what do you think it's going to turn out? Will we get public or not public access on Perdido Key?
Yeah.
I
know you don't think so, but...
I mean, I think it'd be great if we did it, but I think no is the way it's going to turn out. Medical examiner's office, are these allegations going to turn out to be accurate, or are they going to turn out to be something else?
I think it's going to be something else, but just in time.
Yeah, no, weirdly. And, I mean, look, for these funeral directors to go on record-ish saying this stuff, I don't know. This is a problem. If it's true, it's a problem. And if it's not true, it's a problem.
It's three letters.
Right. right. And Florida higher ed, 5 to 10 years from now, ruined or improved or basically what we got now?
Ruined.
I'm going to be optimistic, but I have concerns.
Local talk in the morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 92.3. WNRP Golf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
The Mobile mass shooting suspect pleads guilty on federal weapons charges. Also, a little bit of contention between the State Board of Education and our local school district. That and more after Fox.
Success, then failure. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. For SpaceX, launching the world's biggest and most powerful rocket ever about a half hour ago in Texas. But then a few minutes into the flight, the Starship's first test and the unmanned mission failed, exploding. The hope, though, is to someday use the ship to send astronauts to Mars. There's a lot of damage around Oklahoma City.